We come, Lord, to listen to your word. We have worshiped. I pray that that worship has been from our hearts and not just our lips. You are here. You have committed to be here. And since you are here, Lord, may we glorify you. May we honor you, not just when we come together, but in even the private life that we have in our times alone. May we draw closer to you as the time draws near to the end. Whether it's the end of our time here on earth or whether it's the end of this world, we want to draw close to you because that's the only place where safety is. There's no safety in man or in man's politics or in man's finances. There's no safety there. But in you there is safety that even if we die, yet shall we live. So we can trust you in everything. Even if our family is falling apart, even if our personal life is falling apart, we can still trust you. You're always there. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And now please speak to us through your word. It is your word, not a man's word. It wasn't made up by man. You have spoken to us, and now speak to us here, as you did for the disciples after you rose from the grave. Open their hearts and their minds to understand the word of God. Amen. Please take a seat. I looked at the calendar, and I realized that I have a couple of weeks here in October, and then maybe two in November before Thanksgiving comes, and then after that, the holiday season begins, which I always take time to speak of the prophecies of Christ, the coming of Christ, his birth, and how that all is so significant. So I'm going to teach on a few things here that aren't in one particular book, but I'm going to focus on certain passages that the Lord gave to us about being fruitful, how you can be fruitful for God in your life. How would you like to have a life that is actually bearing the results of what God wants to have from your life? It may not be what the world says is fruitful. It will not be what the world says is fruitful. It will be different than that, because what God gauges as successful is not what the world says is successful. They don't judge according to God's standard. We know that. You can't look to the world for feedback about your spiritual progress. You need to look to God and to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You need to look to them to understand where you are at as a Christian and where you need to go and how you need to change and what you need to do to cause your life to produce for God what needs to be produced. Here Jesus speaks to his disciples in the upper room after the Last Supper. He gives them his last teaching with them. And he tells them, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you, my followers, you, my disciples, bear much fruit." Not a little bit of fruit, much fruit. He's looking for results in your life. He's looking for things to come from you that you don't even know can come from you. He's looking for the gold in your life. "So shall you be my disciples." If you have a commitment to God and Christ, your life should be reflecting and should be producing the fruit of the kingdom, the fruit of what he wants from you. So, well, what does God want from me? Well, we know that he wants us to believe in Jesus, because they asked Jesus that. What does God want from us? What kind of religious work does he want from us? And Jesus said, "Believe. Believe in whom he sent." So you start with that. So if you believe in Jesus Christ and in God, and if you believe in his lordship and in the Holy Spirit in your life, then you're on a good beginning. But you need to go further now. You need to go past just getting saved from your sins. You need to grow. You need to produce. What put this in my mind was, seeing all of this tremendous harvest that's been coming recently, you realize that we've had a piñon harvest. It used to be once every 7 years. Last year we had it. We're having it again this year. That's amazing for this area. It really is kind of miraculous, because it's not supposed to happen every year, but it's happening. What's God producing out of northern New Mexico now? I don't know. Something new. Some fruit. You know, piñon fruit. What is that? Well, it's pretty good stuff if you've never had it. But there's also all the other stuff that's coming. Chili and you know, everything. Apples and fruit. All of that good stuff that's coming. But that's just physical. What about the spiritual fruit that should come from your life? Let's look and see what this is, okay? Now, one of the ways that you can be fruitful for God is to support the ministry of God's word financially. So you're talking a lot about money today. I rarely do, okay? I rarely talk about money. But money is so important to talk about that the Bible talks about it almost more than heaven and hell. Because people think that money is the answer, and it's actually not. If you listen and live your lives according to the principles of God's word on managing resources, not just cash, but managing your time, managing your talent, your life, then you will prosper. You will do well. If you listen to what God says, you will actually do very well. But if you reject the counsel of God concerning debt, concerning bad judgments, bad decision-making, then you'll suffer the consequences of that. Do you think that the people that do well in life do well just because it poofed happened to them? Most people think that, oh, they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Well, what if they worked really hard? What if they went to school? What if they started a business? What if they put in 12 hours a day, 7 days a week so that they could have a business prosper? What if that's what really has happened with people who have, quote-unquote, made it in life? And then those who... It's kind of funny that in our politics nowadays, we think that we need to take away from those people and give it to the people that don't do that. That's actually a really evil sentiment. It's an evil sentiment because God actually has said in the scriptures, no one is to appear before me empty-handed. He told Moses to tell the people. That means that God has given every single human being all the capacity that they need in order to make it, whatever that means. Now, making it may not be that you're going to have the big house on the hill or the brand new car or anything like that. I buy used cars. My son bought a used car recently, and they work. I didn't give them money for it. They work for it. My wife sold her little used car and bought another used car. It looks like a brand new car, but it's not. So we just use our heads. We look for a deal, and then we say, okay, God, you know, can we do this? Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. That is the work of the ministry. We are to have a church in order that people may hear the word of God, so that they can be exposed to the teaching of the Bible and the power of knowing God and Jesus. That's why we're supposed to have a church, and it is not supported by endowments, by rich people, by somebody's rich uncle. It is supported by the people that are reached by it. Watch. The 12 were with him. Who were the 12? They're the ones that became the apostles later on, including Judas was there at that time. But they eventually, because they had a commitment to him, were put into more responsibility. And also came some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. This is interesting. So they reached some women too, not just some, many, many women and men and children turned to the Lord because of what he was saying. Mary called Magdalene, who was actually a paid-for-hire sex slave, basically what she was, because of the kind of culture she was in and probably because of bad choices that she had made. It says here, 7 demons came out of her when she met Jesus. When you meet Jesus Christ, when you meet him, guess what happens? He comes into your life and invades you with his person. And the devil has to step outside because he cannot abide the presence of God in a person. If you want to be delivered from evil in your life, don't just hope for it. Ask him to come into your life because he fills the room. Jesus fills the room. He fills your life. But you've got to let him in first. If you let him into your life, the demons have to go because they cannot abide the holiness of the person of Jesus Christ. So, say, well, does that mean that I have to get exercised? Well, Jesus does the exercising, by the way, not any man or woman or some ministry. Jesus is the one that drives evil out of your life. When he gave that in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, guess who does it? God does it. God delivers us from evil. Man cannot deliver us from anything. You cannot deliver yourself from your sin. He can. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Who was Herod? He was the king in Palestine at that time. He happened to be a man that was raised as a young child with Caesar in Rome. God knows how to place people. He had one of his own household, Herod the king, become a Christian, become a Jesus follower. That was going to influence that household and even Rome. God knows what he's doing. Don't think that he doesn't. Don't think that he doesn't have people in every place, all over the place in this whole world. He does. You don't know who they are. He does. You need to just pray that God's will be done. Concerning our country, pray that God puts the right people into leadership. And it's really important that you understand this. Because people think, oh, forget it. It's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm just going to stay home and, you know, watch football. Well, that's giving up the ghost. You know, why are you here? You should be involved. God gave us this free land. God gave us all of the freedoms and liberties that we have. We're too engaged. Yeah, but it's so hard. As soon as you get engaged, they bite your head off. Of course, that's this world. Proverbs says that the sluggard says to himself, there is a lion in the street. Meaning he won't go out because he's afraid that he's going to get eaten. You got to get out there. We've got to live this life. We're going to go to heaven one day where there's no more struggle. Here, there's battle. So let's get to it, shouldn't we? Susanna and many others. These women, look what it says, were helping to support them. Who's them? Jesus and the 12. They supported the ministry of Jesus Christ when he was human on earth. They supported him financially on earth out of their own means. That means they opened up their wallets and they provide it so that the ministry could go into the nation of Israel and the people could have an encounter with God. The ministry is supported by those who have been reached by it. So, if you have been touched by the ministry of any place that you go, you should support your local church. You should support your local ministry, because when we do that, when we strengthen our own church, then everything is stronger. If we strengthen our own country, our country will be stronger. We've got to understand the principles of the scriptures. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. So because he was reaching people and these people said, hey, wow, this is so cool. I'm getting behind this. I'm getting behind this effort. Because people give to all kinds of stuff in this world nowadays. They give to all kinds of stuff for notoriety or for political correctness or for this or for that, to be noticed or to be in the right circles. You know, if you give to God, you may not get the accolades of the world, but you get the transformation that can happen when God's church is strengthened, when God's ministry on earth is really doing well. I'm going to show you something here. In Malachi, the children of Israel, the Jewish people, were in a time of crisis. They were having problems nationally. They were having problems financially. They were having problems in their families and in their culture. And God spoke to them through Malachi, and he told them why. And this is why. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and not kept them. Well, that goes for human nature, right? We all do that. We like God because God offers us forgiveness and promise of heaven, but then we live our lives as if he doesn't exist. We live our lives as if God's rules don't matter. Return to me, and I will return to you. That is a neat promise. Return to me. Who backslides when there is backsliding? Does God? God does not backslide. It's us. We're the ones who get far from God. We're the ones that start living our lives way away from God. And before you know it, we're way out here on the other side on the cliff, and the wolves are circling, and the vultures are gathering, and we're wondering what's going on. And he says, just come back over here, because over here I'll protect you. I'll protect you if you stay involved with me. I'll protect you and I'll shepherd you, because he says in the scriptures that he is the great shepherd. Return to me. Then he says this. You ask, how? How can we get back to you, God? How? Well, here's the how. He goes, will you rob me? Will a man rob God? You rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? How are we robbing you, God? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. This is an amazing, amazing passage. Many preachers like to use this when they're trying to get into your wallet, and that's not why I'm using it. Okay, it's because this goes hand in glove with the sermon I'm teaching today. Ask anyone that's ever listened to me over 20 years, I rarely talk about money. And I will eventually put together a series on this whole subject of what the Bible says about money. You'd be surprised. Why do you think that the people of God, the Jewish people particularly, do so well in the world? Why? Because they had God and God's word and God's prophets for many, many, many thousands of years. That's why. When we listen to God, we do well. When we don't do well. Now, what's going on here? The nation was starting to become ambivalent towards the ministry of God on earth. The nation was no longer supporting the priests, the temple, and therefore the culture was starting to have a meltdown. Because no longer was there anyone saying, no, no, don't do that. Don't live that way. Repent of that sin. Stop that. Let's turn back to God. Let's live God's way. When we stop supporting that, the culture starts to disintegrate. Sound familiar? Sound like the United States of America? Because you rarely hear anymore, and barely inside of churches anymore. You rarely hear any leadership in any country anymore saying anything about turning to God. Indeed, most leadership suggests that we follow them, and they don't say that God's the answer. They give tacit lip service to an acknowledgement of God, but their lives show no fruit of the teaching of the Bible, or Jesus Christ, or conviction from the Holy Spirit. And yet they say that we should follow them because they have the answers. Really. We need to follow God. We need to turn our hearts back to God. We need to strengthen our churches. We need to strengthen the people that are following God. We need to help the ministry of God on earth so that there may be food in my house. My house means, the Bible by extension means the church, his household, his family. We need to get behind it and support it and strengthen it. Because if we don't, there'll be a meltdown. That is precisely what is happening. Now, he tells us in this parable, let me start here at the beginning, he sets up the teaching of the parable of the Word of God with this thing about how he went around teaching the Word of God to people, sharing the things of God with people. He didn't become a TV screen and dwell amongst us. He became a human being. And he went to the life of somebody and he prayed with them and drove out their demons and got them right with God. And when he did this, the ministry started to really go, okay? Then he gave this teaching, listen. And whenever the Bible says listen, it means you should listen. But it needs to go deeper than that, and I'll share that with you in a moment. A farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path. The birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky places. It didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly. The soil was shallow soil. It sprang up quickly, and the sun came up. The plants were scorched. They withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns and grew up and choked the plants so that they didn't bear grain. Others fell on good soil. This seed came up and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or 100 times. So there's the much fruit. How do we get to that? How do we get to that bottom sentence? It's by moving through all of that top area. I'll show you. Listen to the teaching of the Word of God. That's in your fill-ins. By the way, in the fill-ins, I want all of you to get a bulletin, including guys. Don't just have your wives do it for you. Please, man. Guys, we got to get past this thing of, you got to start doing it too. Jesus called 12 men into discipleship. Why? Because men need to be called out of their ambivalence spiritually and back into spiritual headship. Why do you think he did this? Because in the Garden of Eden, the curse was flipped. God, Adam, Eve, right? That's the way it was created. God was not created. God created Adam, and then he created Eve. That was the order of creation. In the fall, Eve acted independently away from Adam, listened to an outside source named Lucifer, who cast doubt on God and God's word, and Adam submitted to that. So now you have Lucifer, the woman, and Adam. So Jesus is reversing the curse. He's calling men back into spiritual headship. Men. We have to beg guys to be elders. Why? Why should I have? You know, it's funny. Guys will get on any board, but a board of a church? Why don't you get involved in the board of a church? We need to strengthen the church, men. We need to make the church what God wants it to be. He calls men out of their apathy into involvement in the army of God. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you." Who is you? You means the disciples, because they're the ones that asked. They're the ones who have made a commitment to follow him. The 12 were with him. They were going around. They were committed to him. So because they were committed to him, they got to see things and hear things that nobody else got to see and hear. They got to see Jesus drive out demons. They saw Mary Magdalene go from a prostitute to one of the saints. They saw Jesus raise people from the dead, unplug deaf ears, walk on the water, rise from the dead himself. They saw all of that because they were committed to him. Those who do not commit, they don't get to see any of that. It says here, and listen, here's a definition from the dictionary: to give attention, to attend closely to for the purpose of hearing, to give ear, to pay attention, to heed, and to obey. So listening and the command and the instruction in the Bible about listening isn't just to go hear a good sermon. I spoke last week about Benji, who led worship while Christina was gone. But Christina's just great, you know. I'm like, wow, I'm so glad we've got her, okay? And I told Benji, you know, the challenge is in ministry to get people beyond just that was a good worship service, that was a good sermon. It's got to go beyond that. It's got to produce from you. It's got to create in you a fruit that needs to develop. You need to go beyond just getting saved. Watch. Don't just hear the word, do the word. And by the way, you won't hear the word of God anywhere else than in a Bible-believing church. You just won't. You won't turn on the news and hear it. CNN's not going to tell you. Fox isn't going to tell you. YouTube's not going to tell you. You know, all of these things aren't going to tell you. God will tell you. I have gone to churches all my life since I got saved at 19. And the only place that I ever heard about the things of God was from Bible-believing preachers and teachers and radio programs and stuff like that. That's where I heard it. You need to do more than this. You need to do it. James, the brother of Jesus Christ, who finally turned to Jesus Christ in faith after his brother died. Those of you who have family members, family members that are adult already and are not following the Lord, you brought them up in the things of God and they're not following him. Sometimes it takes you living out your life in service to God all the way to the end of this life. And they see you live that life, they see you die, and then they realize, I got to get with it. I've seen many, many families turn back to God when their loved one dies, who was committed to God. Maybe while their loved one was here on earth, committed to God and living for God, they thought they had some kind of a pass. And then that loved one dies, and they say, man, I better get with it. Because my mom and my dad or my uncle and my aunt, they lived for God, my grandparents, and they served God, and I saw them do that all the way to the end. I'm going to do it too. That's the best sermon you could ever give to somebody. Judy Matthews recently, is she here, Judy? Are the Matthews here? Her son-in-law died. And she is a nurse, and she went out to California all the dying time of her son-in-law, who's only like 30 years old. He died of cancer. And she ministered to them, even though they're not Christian. Her daughter was raised in the church and raised in a Christian home, and she has turned away from faith. And Judy went there, and all she did was minister to his physical needs, minister, pray with, be there. That's the loudest sermon that you could ever give somebody. It's more than just listening, it's doing it. Look what Jesus says here. Not to them. What not to them? The secrets of the kingdom of God, he told the disciples, are given to you. It's given to the people who are committed. He's giving you the golden nuggets. I love watching Bering Strait Gold and Alaska Gold and all of that stuff. They dive under the water and they get a vacuum cleaner and they do like this. They vacuum up dirt and they get this much gold. It's amazing. You and I are given gold. And the gold that we're giving are nuggets from God himself. They cannot be corrupted. It's better than physical gold. The Bible even talks about this, that the promises and the teaching and the word of God is more valuable than anything you could strive for on earth, because it's the only thing that will give you, if you will, cash in heaven. What gives you cash in heaven? Listening to the word of God. Look what he says. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. That means that if you make a commitment to Jesus Christ like the disciples did, I doubt if they thought when they started to follow this man, this rabbi, this prophet, I doubt if they thought that they would be in the beginnings of a worldwide movement that would save the souls of billions of men and women through time. I doubt if they realized that. Most of them were just fishermen, and they were just like, forget the world, I'm going to go fishing. Sometimes I think that way too. But you can't do that. You can't go and forget about the world. God wants us to engage. Men, he wants you to get in the fight. Men love a fight. Well, get involved in the fight of the spiritual battle that's going on all around you. You see the results of it. You see the overdoses. You see the alcoholism. You see the breakup of families and culture and nation. Well, do something. Get off of the bleachers of life and get involved in the things of God. You'll see some good things happen. It won't solve all of the problems of the world. We're not gonna, just one man or one little church is going to solve all of the problems. No. But one church at a time, one individual at a time, turning to God, getting right with God, that changes a whole nation, one at a time. Now he says this, whoever doesn't have even what he has will be taken from him or her. This is why I speak to them in parables. So what he's saying here is he's drawing a contrast. Those who have committed to me, the disciples, you stay with me, you follow me, you listen to me. I'm giving to you salvation first. Then I give to you the download of information that's even more and more and more. God gives this to his people. But those who don't want to commit to Christ, those who have no concern for the spiritual things of God and Christ and the church and Christianity, they say, that's not for me. They won't have anything. Even what they have will be taken from them. God will remove from them all blessings. The Bible says that the end result of anyone who rejects Jesus Christ is to be cast into the lake of fire. Say, well, that sounds really ominous. It is. We don't want anyone to go to hell, even God. God says he desires that no one perish, but that all come to repentance and a knowledge of the truth. He doesn't want a human being to reject the offer of salvation. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to grow. He wants them to change. He wants them to be fruitful. He wants them to be blessed. But many, many, many say, nope, no thanks. And they live their lives as if there's no God. And they live their lives in self-destructive behavior. And they end up destroying their own soul. So turn to God, why don't you? Unless you want to be in this contrast that Jesus himself drew, here's my disciples. I give to them salvation. I drive out demons from them. I stand them up on their feet. I give them all of the nuggets of the kingdom of heaven because they want it. If you don't want it, he won't force it on you. If you say no to him, he's not going to force himself on you. Now he says this. Here is the reason they hear and don't understand. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they don't hear or understand. They know, they see Jesus on earth. They see people turning to God. They see prostitutes getting saved. They see average fishermen getting on fire for God. They should say, wow, what's going on here? He goes, here's what's going on. There was a prophecy about them. You will be ever hearing, never understanding. You will be ever seeing, never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They don't hear with their ears spiritually. They've closed their eyes. They don't want to hear what God says. They don't want to see what God says. They only want to hear and see what the world says. And the world says, do anything, live any way, behave any way you want. Okay, go ahead, live that way. Go ahead and live your life that way. See what happens in the end when you stand in front of the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Do you think he'll just blink his eye, wink his eye, and excuse it all? Oh, no. There are laws. Just like gravity, there are spiritual laws. If you give your life, it says, whoever sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. Whoever sows to the flesh will reap corruption and destruction. Say, I don't like hearing that. Well, you need to hear it, and you're only going to hear it here, maybe. Because even in many, many churches, they rarely tell people of the danger that there is in not listening to the Word of God. They hang in the balance. If you died tonight, if you died tonight and stood in front of your Maker, what would happen? Most people say, I don't know. I hope it's going to be okay. Well, you better know. And the way you know is by coming to Christ. They hardly hear. They hardly see. Otherwise, they might see and they might hear. They might understand with their hearts and turn. Look what it says. You just listen and say, okay, God, I'm I'm stopping this wrestling match with you. I'm going to stop resisting you. I'm going to turn my life to you. And guess what happens? Look what it says there. Let's say it together. And I would heal them. Everybody wants healing, but healing doesn't come until you make the decision to go to the physician. You got to go to the doctor, and the doctor is Jesus Christ. A disciple is devoted to the Lord's word. Are you? How devoted are you to the word of the Lord? Many of you listen to all kinds of information. We're in the information age, right? Why do you think there's so much depression? Why do you think there's so much stress? Why do you think there's so much angst in this culture? Because they're listening to all of the messages of the world and not to the word of the Lord. When you listen to the word of the Lord, it calms you. It takes away stress. It gives you a peace. It gives you a confidence to face everything in life, including the loss of a loved one, including cancer, including financial setback, including marital problems, family problems, employment problems. If you listen to the word of the Lord, you're just as calm as all get out. It's really cool. I'm there. I'm not boasting, but I'm there. For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I know this now. I live for Christ, and if I die, I'm with him. Either way, I'm winning. All the way I'm winning because I'm devoted to this word and I'd rather listen to this than anything else. I actually turned off the news finally. Click. I was kind of a news junkie. I'm like, no thanks. All I hear there is a whole bunch of vitriol and people being accusatory one to another and throwing slander and dirt on one another. I don't want to listen to that. Blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous men longed to hear what you hear and to see what you see, but they weren't able to hear it. Isn't this amazing? You and I get to hear and experience what God did through Jesus Christ. The prophets only got visions of it. They only got indications of it from the Holy Spirit. One time Moses was with the children of Israel, and there was a person who had the Holy Spirit come upon him. And they went and told Moses, hey, this guy had the Holy Spirit, and he didn't go to your meeting. And he said, you know what Moses said? He goes, I wish that God would give all of you his Holy Spirit. Did you know that that was the plan all along? All of you, to have the word of God, the spirit of God, the power of God, every single one of us, the priesthood of all believers, not just the preacher behind the pulpit, not just the priests up at the front by the altar, every single believer in Jesus Christ, a priest, a prophet, a king, a child of God. Isn't that cool? Now, a teaching is a seminal instruction. We live in a culture that thinks that, well, I've got a problem, I'll go to a class. And so we've got an overeducated culture because they think that by going to a class, it'll solve their problems. It's not going to a class, it's doing what you learn. Think about this in any endeavor. I have a brother-in-law. He got a math degree, okay? And when he applied to a job at an aerospace company and he got hired. And they said, we're glad that you got your degree, but now that we just wanted to know that you had the discipline to go through college and to do the studies and all of that. Now that we know that, we're going to teach you how it really works. We're going to teach you how to build real aerospace planes and spaceships and bombers and all of that. We're going to show you how it really works. So forget everything you learned in the classroom. We're going to show you real life. Isn't that cool? That's the way it is with everything. When you go to medical school, when you go to any school, until you get to the real field, like when you're a mechanic, you can read all about it, but until you get a wrench and actually untake a bolt out and scrape your knuckles, you won't know what it's like. All teaching is seminal, including spiritual teaching. Jesus is teaching us this here in this parable. He's going to tell us what the parable is. The seed is the word of God. What's the seed? It is the teaching of what God says. It is seminal. That means in order for it to take off, so other things have to happen. Those along the path are the ones who hear the word of God, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Have you ever been trying to talk to somebody about God and Christ and they just shut off? Guess who does that? It's not them. It's the devil. The Bible says the prince of the power of the air. Satan told Jesus, he showed Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said, it's all mine. So he controls the spirit of this anti-God mankind thing. And when somebody is told about Jesus and God and they just say no, and they run away, that's the devil. Okay? So I don't know if I believe that. There is a devil. the prince of the power of the air, and the Bible identifies him as the accuser of the brethren in Revelation, who accuses them before God's throne day and night. So we see this in our politics now. He did this, she said that, he said that, she said this. It's like the accuser. They're playing the accuser's game instead of just, you know what? I'm a sinner, and I'm not a perfect person, and I'm going to try to be or run for leadership of this country, but look, I believe in God, I believe in forgiveness, and I think that we can all go forward. Well, unless we think that our leaders, political and otherwise, spiritual, ought to be some perfect paragons of moral and no vice and all of that, really, I might as well quit if you think that. Because all are sinners, the Bible says it. All have fallen short from the glory of God. There is no one that you couldn't go back and find the recordings of their lives and find that there's no sin. Because the Bible says all have sinned. So I haven't. Oh, yeah, you have. You just did if you're saying that. So the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. So if the devil takes away the word of God from your heart, you can't be saved. So you gotta wrestle with this guy. Don't let him take away the word of God from your heart. Don't let him stop you from coming to church and Bible study and fellowship. Don't let him do that. Instead of turning on the oldies station, why don't you turn on a Bible teaching station and listen to the word of God being proclaimed? Teaching is seminal instruction intended to change you. Get ready for God's teaching to be tested in you. He's going to test your commitment to him. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy. But when they hear it, but they have no roots, and they believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. My wife and I planted some shrubbery to make a nice hedge between our property lines, between us and the neighbor. And one area is doing really good because it's got better soil, and the other area is kind of rocky, you know, that soil from Santa Fe that's really hard to grow in, and it's full of sun, and really having to work hard to make those ones grow. Same thing with you. There's all kinds of tests that will come into your life. This is a test. You know, for the next 60 years, for the next 100 years, your life will be in a test. What's the test? Testing you, testing your commitment to God, testing your commitment to the Word of God, to the things of God. Why is he doing this then? Exercise, exercise. People go to the gym to exercise. Why? No pain, no gain, right? No pain, no gain. You need to exercise in order to be physically fit. Well, spiritually, God's going to exercise your spiritual muscles. He's going to, okay, I'll turn to God, so now everything's going to be cool, right? Right. It is going to be cool, but it doesn't mean he's going to stop you from facing challenges, personally and otherwise, in your personal life and in your outside life. He's going to test you. I don't want to be tested. I don't like tests. Too bad. You're in life. You're going to be tested. Don't allow distraction from the Word of God. If you want to be fruitful, realize you're going to be tested. Realize the devil's going to come after the Word. But don't allow to be distracted from the Word of God. Right now, you're already being distracted. You're looking at your watch and you're thinking, wow, how much time left? It'd be neat, I think, if we would have a time in American culture once again where a preacher or preachers could preach and people would say, I want to just stay here and listen to the Word of God all day long. Wouldn't that be cool? I've done that, actually. I've been in some revivals where there's just preacher after preacher and evangelist after evangelist. It's like I feel like getting saved every 5 seconds. Don't allow distraction from the Word of God. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear the Word of God, but as they go on their way, what happens? They are choked by life's worries. Well, what are life's worries? Oh, list them. My marriage, my money, my employment, my depression, my this, my that, all the worries of life. I'm so stressed. Everybody's all stressed all the time. Riches and pleasures. We all think that that's the answer. If I could just get rich, I'll be happy, right? I've known a lot of rich people as a preacher. I've met a few multimillionaires, maybe billionaires. I don't know. I never ask them. And they're not happy. They're not happy. As a matter of fact, they have money, and all they do is have more sophisticated sin. They have, you know, fancier ways to do the same old stuff that we all do. Riches and pleasures. If you think that life is about living hedonism, you know what the word hedonism is? Hedon, H-E-D-O-N-ism. It means to live a life with no moral boundaries at all. To live a life of la vida loca. To go out there and party and have a great time. That's what life's all about. Being happy, having fun, right? That's what life's all about. I can't tell you how many young people I have buried through overdoses or alcohol poisoning or automobile accidents, because that's what they thought life was about. But the young people that said, you know what? I'm going to go to school. I'm going to study. I'm going to become a doctor. They're a doctor now. I've known a few. They're doctors now, because that's what they did. They said no to the vida loca, and now they're doing really, really well. So they don't mature, and they don't mature because they allow all of this other stuff to choke the Word of God. If you allow all of the outside things to distract and choke out the Word of God, you won't bear fruit. Do you want to bear fruit for God? Then don't be distracted from the Word of God. Get involved in Bible study. Get involved in fellowship. Get involved in coming to church more than once a week. Once a week isn't enough, people. If you ate physical food once a week, you'd be really skinny. Some of us need to do that, but like me. Hear the Word, retain the Word, and persist in the Word if you want to be fruitful. The seed on the good soil stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, hear. What's a noble and good heart? The psalm says, who can ascend into thy holy hill? Him with clean hands and a pure heart. Check your heart. The Bible says in Psalms again, David said, search me, God, and see if there be anything in me that is hurtful. Let God go through your life, your attitudes, your opinions, your actions and reactions, and let Him check you out. Make your heart pure. When your heart is good, your life is good. Even in the physical heart, if your physical heart is pumping really good, you can go hiking, you can go jogging, you can go swimming, all of that stuff, right? But if you got heart problems, guess what happens? You can barely move. If you got spiritual heart problem, you've got a problem. You won't be fruitful for God. You might be physically fit and all of that now that you're young, but keep on living the vida loca. It's going to catch up to you. Oh, yeah. You start paying for your sins when you're my age. Okay? All of those packs of cigarettes that went into my lungs, that's why I'm having trouble preaching right now. Retain it. Persist in it. Continue to hear it. By perseverance. What's perseverance? Stick-to-itiveness. Not giving up. So, oh, there's church today. I think I'll miss it. Don't miss it. I wanted to go so much that I used to think about getting up and going to church. I would go to Bible studies. I'd go to church. Nobody came and got me. I went because I wanted to hear. I wanted to learn. And then little did I know that He was going to put me behind a pulpit. I didn't even think that way. I was just like, wow, this is so good. I'm glad. Man, where was this in my education? Because I used to love to go to school and all of that, but I said, this was missing. They didn't teach me this stuff. I got to catch up. Some of you have to catch up. You've only learned the very basics of you and God, that He wants to save you. That's just the beginning. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have an influence in this world to help to turn the darkness, unless you want to be part of the darkness. And if you do, good luck. We live in a culture that loves zombieism. It's interesting, huh? They glorify death. I was thinking to myself, Jesus said, God is not the God of the dead, but the living. We are the living. We are the living. We're not zombies. We're born again. We're in the kingdom of light. We're the living. We need to tell the zombies about the life that you and I have. Let's stand. Lord, we thank You for the teaching of the Word of God. And we pray that You would raise up even more men and women committed to teaching and sharing the things of the Word of God. We need it in our culture. We need it in our families. We need it in our schools. They threw You out a long time ago. We need it in our politics. They also threw You out. So, Lord, I pray You would throw them out and give to us leaders that love You and Your Word. Because without that, We're going down to the cesspool. Lord, deliver us from evil, please. Help us, Lord. Help our country. Help us in our personal lives. Help each one of us to individually get healthy. Healthy and powerful spiritually. So like Samson, we may throw down the pagan temple of the pagans and those who hate You. And we may see the life of God renewed in our time, in our families, in our culture, in our nation. And by extension in this world, Lord, it starts with one commitment, my commitment to Jesus Christ. Are you committed to Him? If you've never committed to Him, here's your chance. I will pray the prayer that every Christian has ever had to pray. It's called the sinner's prayer. Everybody's eyes is closed anyway, so they're not looking at you. So if you want to ask Jesus in your heart, right now is the time. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'll pray this prayer. You can pray it. Follow me in this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart and be my Lord. I repent of my sin and my wickedness. I ask that you would deliver me from evil. Please come into me. Please change my life. Please save my soul so that when I stand in front of you, I will be confident. Be my Savior now. Send to me the Holy Spirit. Send to me all of the promises and blessings of God and the Holy Spirit of God and the life of God and the promises of God and the fruitfulness of God. Without this, there's no answer. The Republicans won't save you. The Democrats won't save you. Money won't save you. Education won't save you. Psychiatrists won't save you. The Savior will save you. In Jesus' name, amen.